Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. So I would call them tastes of heaven. Over the course of my life in ministry, I have been blessed with experiences of spiritual community that would often move me to tears. I'd be at a gathering of our college students in our campus ministry or at a staff conference with fellow campus ministry staff. And as we worshiped and prayed and shared our hearts with each other, my heart would often well up with the love that filled up that room. The sense of spiritual community would be palpable. I would call these tastes of heaven. This second Sunday of Easter, this is the second Sunday of Easter. And for the next several weeks, we're going to have readings in the book of Acts. And today, we read about the early church's amazing community. And chronologically, this all makes sense in our calendar. We have been walking with Jesus first through Advent, from his birth, through his life and his ministry. We walked alongside Jesus in being tested and tried in the wilderness by the evil one during Lent. And through Lent, we prepared for Holy Week, where we walk with Jesus through Maundy Thursday to the cross of Good Friday. And then we celebrated Jesus' glorious resurrection on Easter. Now we continue that story in the book of Acts. The church that emerged, we look at the church that emerged out of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. And so for the next several weeks, we're going to have readings from the book of Acts. Now today, we had this passage from Acts chapter 4, where we get this picture of the amazing community life of the early church. They're all of one heart and soul. They're sharing everything that they have with each other so that there's no needy person at all in the community. The apostles are testifying to what they have seen firsthand, the resurrection of Jesus. Powerful, amazing spiritual community. And what's interesting is what Luke, the author, appears to be doing. See, the words and phrases that he's using appear to tap into both Greek and Hebrew notions of ideal community. On the Greek side, the idea of having things in common and being of one mind or soul are catchphrases in Aristotelian philosophy about what true friendship is all about. On the Hebrew side of things, the image of sharing your resources so that no one is with need ties back to the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 15, where Moses tells the people of Israel how they are to live once they enter into the promised land. Do you see, Luke seems to be portraying the early church as the embodiment of both Greek and Hebrew ideals of friendship and community. And furthermore, the book of Acts is part two of Luke's story. If you remember, the Gospel of Luke is part one. And the book of Acts takes that story on into part two. And back in part one in the Gospel of Luke, when Jesus comes out in his mission, Luke has Jesus declaring his sense of calling in Luke chapter 4. And Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Biblical scholar Ben Witherington III suggests that the community life of the early church becomes, in a sense, the fulfillment of Jesus' mission. The church becomes a place where Jesus' intentions to bring good news to the poor, freedom for the oppressed, and the time of God's favor is being actually fleshed out in the world. So the early church, the community life of being in one heart and one soul, generously sharing resources so that no one has need, powerful witness by the leadership to the reality and truth of the resurrected Jesus, this is the embodiment of the ideals of friendship and community life that secular culture, religious teaching, and Jesus himself wanted. And I would add, I think this is what we all want. A place of such deep spiritual community and friendship that it gladdens the soul. As our Psalm 133 said, "How good and pleasant it is when we live together in unity." And especially when the spiritual community that we're talking about starts crossing the barriers that divide us from the rest of the world. Barriers of race and class and even partisan politics. You see, this is what was going on in the early church after Jesus had been raised from the dead and the Holy Spirit was poured out upon these early believers. And it's no accident, I think, that this picture of spiritual community comes to us as the New Testament reading for the second week of Easter. Last Sunday, we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus. This week, we see a picture of amazing spiritual community. And this is not an accident, the progression. Why? Because this spiritual community is a sign of the presence of the resurrected Jesus. Let me say that again. The reality of an amazing spiritual community is a sign of the presence of the resurrected Jesus. This is how, one way that the resurrected Jesus is revealed to the rest of the world. This is where people can experience that Jesus is alive and well. It's in the context of an amazing spiritual community called the church. You know, I started this sermon by talking about how I personally have had these experiences of amazing spiritual connection and community that I would consider tastes of heaven. And indeed, I think they are tastes of heaven. An amazing spiritual community really is a taste of heaven, where the spiritual reality of heaven, where the resurrected Jesus reigns at the right hand of God, where that reality breaks into our world. And for many who are searching and wondering about life, often it's the experience of spiritual community and friendship that draws them deeper towards faith in Jesus. That's why I think something like the Alpha program that we're going to start tonight is such a powerful ministry. We gather for a meal to discuss spiritual matters and develop these bonds of spiritual connection with others. I mean, it's not just the content of the videos that we watch these Sunday nights that impacts people. It's the experience of that spiritual community. It's where the resurrected Jesus, I believe, is at work to touch people's lives. So the spiritual community of the church is the means by which the resurrected Jesus is made known in our world. But you and I know very well that this kind of spiritual community described here in Acts is often not the case in the reality today. Churches often become places of conflict and tension, disappointment and frustration. I mean, there have been times, I have to be honest, when I hear this kind of message about the church being called to be a place of deep, meaningful spiritual community where heaven breaks through and lights up the darkness of our conflict and tension. I hear those things, and there's been seasons where I've said, ugh, sure ain't happening here. So what do we make of that? What do we do when that is the case? What do we do when we sense that the experience of spiritual connection and community is lacking? I mean, sure, we need to do our part to build community, reach across bounds, and connect with brothers and sisters in Christ. But see, I think the deeper, more fundamental issue is hinted at by our psalm. Psalm 133 talks about the amazing blessing it is when people live in unity. In the imagery of the oil on Aaron's head, the dew of Mount Hermon falling upon the hills of Zion, these are all images of life and blessing being poured out. But here's the thing. This psalm was a psalm of ascent, a psalm that the people would pray together when they went to worship. It's tied to worship. And when we come to worship here and receive Holy Eucharist, we are receiving the sacramental presence of Jesus, the body of Christ, the bread of heaven, the blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. What is happening is that we are tying in to the mystical body of Christ, which is also an idea about the church, the body of Christ. By taking communion, we are uniting ourselves with Jesus, tying ourselves into the one mystical body of Christ. St. Augustine would say that, says that what that we are what we eat, what we have received. Theologian Henry de Lubac says that the Eucharist actually makes the church. Reformed scholar Hans Boersma talks about how the sacramental purpose of the Eucharistic body is to create the ecclesial body, which is the church. Something happens as we regularly feed ourselves spiritually at the Lord's table. We are mystically embodying and renewing our connection to the body of Christ, the church. And this also points to the source of our unity, which is to Christ. He is the source and the glue that unites us. And he is who we need to continually tap into to gain the spiritual resources that we need in order to love and to be kind and to forgive. See, apart from his resources, his spiritual resources, we will not have what it takes to love across barriers, to forgive when hurt, to be generous in the face of need. How do we live out our calling to be this amazing spiritual community called the church, a taste of heaven, the means by which the resurrected Jesus makes himself known in our world? We do this through worship and sacraments. And by continually and often going to Jesus to receive from him his spiritual resources to be the body of Christ, the church. Amen.
Our service of Holy Baptism continues in the Book of Common Prayer on page 301. The candidates for Holy Baptism will now be presented.
Emma, Michael, and Grace.
Do you desire to